not ashamed of the good news about salvation, and that is messianic salvation through Messiah Jesus, because this message and this message alone unleashes the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes this good news, first to the Jewish people and then to the Gentiles. Shalom. This is Rabbi Lauren coming to you from WLQV today, Faith Talk 1500. And my guest today is Tom Cantor. Tom graciously decided to be my guest again today. I interviewed Tom yesterday. And Tom's mother was Jewish from the Cincinnati area. And Tom's father was a doctor from the Virginia area, from a family of Orthodox rabbis and cantors. In 1973, Tom received his undergraduate degree in biochemistry from the University of California, San Diego. And 36 years ago, Tom started a medical diagnostic company called Scantibodies Laboratory. He started it in his garage with $130. Today, the company employs 650 people, is operating on four continents, and is debt-free, mortgage-free, and investor-free. And actually, I'd like to talk to Tom what he means by investor free. I guess that means it's privately owned. The company has 1,500 products and continues to grow into therapeutic products and services for infectious diseases and cancer. In 2009, Tom was honored with the Whistleblower of the Year Award from Taxpayers Against Fraud. This was in recognition for stopping harm to 500,000 dialysis patients from a faulty diagnostic test. The manufacturer of that test took a felony guilty plea and paid a $300 million settlement to the government. That's impressive. But Tom will tell you that nothing in his life compares to the treasure he found 42 years ago when he discovered that Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world. I met Tom a couple months ago at a conference in San Diego. We had lunch together. I really enjoyed meeting him. He is unique. And yesterday, Tom shared his story with us, how Yeshua made him kosher, his mischievous, creative youth, his passionate search and discovery of the truth, his zeal for the Lord. So, Tom, welcome back to Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Well, thank you, Lauren. It's good to be back. Thank you very much for having me.
And thank you so much for being my guest again today. Tom, what's a nice Jewish boy like you talking about Jesus Christ?
You know, when I got the award for the Taxpayers Against Fraud, there was a group of about 400 attorneys that were in the ceremony service in Washington D.C. And when I was listening to them, as I think it was one lawyer got up, his name was Mr. Levine, and then Mr. Goldstein got up, and so I stood up there and I said, you know, I was a little bit afraid I'd be the only Jewish person in this room, but I come to find out I'm not. And so, anyway, when I told them about getting the Whistleblower of the Year and the great inspiration that I had for being a whistleblower because the greatest whistleblower was the Lord Jesus Christ, who came at great risk to himself, and most whistleblowers really do have a lot more risk than I had, but they had a great risk to himself. He came here and blew the whistle that mankind was going right on down the tracks to hell, and that there was a way that God had created to back to heaven. So after I gave that talk, one of the ladies came up to me, a Jewish lady from Chicago, and she asked me that very question: what's a Jewish boy like you talking about Jesus Christ? And as I thought about that a little bit, I turned to her and I said, well, what's a Jewish woman like you not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ? Because this is the message that God has given to his people, his Jewish people, to be a light to the world. And so, as I was saying yesterday, God converted me to himself, not to a religion, not to Christianity, not from Judaism or to another kind of Judaism or to a church or to denomination, but to a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, for me, it's the most natural thing in the world to come to him, because as I read through the scripture, I see so often that the pattern for God's people was that they had to step out and be different from the rest, like Abraham, when God said to him, Lech Lecha, in other words, walk and walking, go, go, and leave your family, leave your kindred, leave everything that's familiar to you. And the two spies who were faithful, Joshua and Caleb, were in the minority. So when people say to me, what's a Jewish boy like you? I understand what they're saying, because the vast majority do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their God and their Savior. But when you look at God's people, so often they were called to step out for God.
That's
so
true.
That's
true, Tom. We are a minority within a minority, but like you said, you know, truth is not determined by a majority vote. And Abraham, God called him to, you know, leave everything behind, and he is the example of what it means to be a true Jewish person.
Yes.
Tom, I was really impressed yesterday with your story, how you were a real troublemaker growing up, really mischievous. And, you know, you did some things that made you feel dirty and shameful. And you started reading the Bible. I think you said you were reading the King James Version of the Bible, which was very hard to understand because it was Old English.
Right.
And you came across the words, you know, the whole netilat yadayim, the washing of the hands, that, you know, Messiah was talking. Can you just briefly go over that, you know, that key encounter with the Bible, the Word of God, that really liberated your soul from the shame, the guilt, even the suicidal thoughts that you were experiencing?
Yeah, right. Well, as right. And as I said yesterday, what drove me was a need. There was a need that drove me. I needed to find personal cleansing, a release from the tyranny of the shame and the guilt and the unclean feeling. And when I came to Matthew chapter 15 and read in there for the first time, as I was reading that passage, and the very first time I was reading it, when the Lord Jesus Christ talked about the washing of the hands, I understood, because that was very much part of our culture. But when he began to speak about an uncleanness that came out of the center of man, from the heart of man, and that made him, and that emanated itself in thoughts, and that made him or resulted in him feeling guilty, feeling shameful, that was new to me. And that really resonated with me, because I had those thoughts and I had those feelings of defilement. And so that's what drove me to keep on going, to be attracted to him, to say, well, if he could accurately diagnose the problem, then surely he's got the solution. And as I went farther and farther, then I discovered that the solution was himself, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The first time I read that, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, I said to myself, I don't know about the sin of the world, but I sure got some sin. So if he can take mine away, I want to get right to the head of the line. And so that was the need that drove me to him and me receiving. And I'll tell you, the biggest hurdle, and if you want to say that was the point of my salvation, was not to accept him as Messiah. It wasn't to accept him as anything other than God. It was all about, is he God? If he's God, everything falls into place. And so that was the greatest struggle that I had. And when I finally bowed the knee, like the Thomas in the Bible, who said, my Lord and my God, that's the point when I feel I really came to know him.
That's terrific. And then we ended yesterday. You were just starting to tell us about your aunt, that she started getting interested in Messiah. Tell us a little bit more about her story, if you don't mind.
Yeah, right. Well, when I left her, I told her, I said, Aunt Jane, I said, you know, I'm not asking you to do anything. I just want you to keep this in mind. If you ever find yourself absolutely alone, desperate, no one to help you, I said to her, please don't just call out on the name of God, because everybody calls on God and nobody knows what they mean. But call on his name. He has a specific name. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put that on as an address on the envelope. It won't be returned for lack of insufficient address. So what happened was, she was all alone. She fell, her back went out, she couldn't move, she couldn't get to the phone. She's a widow, nobody was there. She just was so terrified, and she took the advice. And she called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help her, and he did. He miraculously took her pain away, and she got up, and then she wrote me about it. And so my wife and I immediately jumped on a plane and flew out to Cincinnati. My aunt loved Skyline Chili Dogs from Cincinnati and Krispy Kreme Donuts. And so we arrived over there with those two in hand, and we ate the Skyline Chili Dogs. And then my aunt said, okay, can we get the Krispy Kreme Donuts? And I said, not until we do business with God. And so I laid out God's plan of how she should be saved, how she should call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be her God, to be her Savior, which she did. And she was saved at that point, and everything changed. She went, you could see it, from a state of depression and in darkness, she went to light. From death, she went to life. And 30 days later, she flatlined in a Jewish hospital in Cincinnati, Ohio, and they revived her. And even though she knew she was looking, for 3 days she was in the hospital, she was looking death in the face, she had a peace because she had come to God, and she knew that Psalm 23 was hers. I shall live in the house of the Lord forever, and she went to heaven.
This is your Jewish aunt?
Yeah, my Jewish aunt, yeah.
That is really wonderful. Tom, you were diagnosed in December of 2010 with stage 4 incurable non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. That's pretty serious.
Yeah.
That is not easy news to hear for, I would think, anyone. But I've got to ask you, what difference has knowing Messiah made for you since being diagnosed with stage 4 incurable non-Hodgkin's lymphoma?
Yeah. Well, the best way to answer that question is to tell you that I went through radiation, I went through chemo, and good parts about going through chemo is that you go into an infusion center and you meet lots of other patients with end-stage cancer. And some of them are saved and some of them are lost. And as I would speak to them and compare myself with them, I could see so clearly that the great, great difference. I watched some really, really disturbing things the behavior of some of the lost people. But I'll tell you what meant for me was that I had this distinct, almost like a vision or impression that my Savior, my God, the Lord Jesus Christ, sort of reached over and with a nail-pierced hand picked up a prescription pad and wrote down on it, non-Hodgkin stage 4 lymphoma for Tom. This is good for he and I to go through together. And so to me, it was tough, but it became the beginning of an adventure. Now, that was the first thing that happened. The second thing that happened is that I gave it a lot of thought, is that there was a particular scripture that kept coming back to me from Luke, and it was the part about a person called an unjust steward who was squandering his master's goods. And his master came to him and said these words, "You may no longer be steward." And so when he told him that, he just sprung into action, and he went to people that owed his master money, and he reduced their debt because he still had the ability to do it. Now, the master, the Lord Jesus Christ, had said he was wise. And I realized that, you know, when God calls me home and I no longer have stewardship over what he's given me down here on earth, it's going to be over. The stewardship's going to be over. And those words, "Thou mayest no longer be steward," resonated in me, and I thought to myself, whatever I'm going to do, I got to do it now. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was on his way up to the place of the cross, and there was a group of Jewish women in Jerusalem that were following him, and they were crying. Why were they crying? Because they could see where he was on his journey up to the place where the cross was going to be, and they knew how long it was going to take for him to get up there, and they knew how long it was going to take for him to die after they put the nails in. And so they were sort of looking at his time clock running out, and they were crying. And he turned around to them, and he said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves." And he told them what was going to happen to Jerusalem in 70 AD when Titus would soon overrun the city. And so in essence, what he was saying was that, you see my time clock running out, I'm very sensitive and have compassion on your time clock running out. So I feel that with the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, what God gave me is a time clock running out so that I can be sensitive to the time clock of my Jewish people that's running out. My time clock runs out, I go to heaven. Their time clock runs out. If they don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, they go to hell. And so instead of that just being conceptual, but to be really impressed on me, that's why I feel God gave me this lymphoma, so that I would be sensitive and do all that I can for them.
Well, it really comes across that you have a real passion for evangelism, and particularly a heart for our Jewish people, for Jewish evangelism. That's really clear.
Right. And I get challenged all the time by Jewish people. You know, why do you do this? Judaism tells you not to do this. You shouldn't be proselytizing, and so forth and so on. And I have to give an answer, and they say, what is the reason? And they demand, and so forth. And the reason I always go back to, and you heard the story, was the story of Simon Wasserman. And this story has shaped my life because it's a true story. And I have dear, dear friends. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, but my dear, dear friends that are in Jerusalem, Avi and Tammy's there. They're both Israelis. And this is a true story of what happened to Tammy's father. And Tammy's father was born in 1910 in Berlin in Germany. And he was the son of a Orthodox man, a shochet, like my grandfather, who they used to do ceremonial slaughtering of the animals. And Tammy's father was named Simon Wasserman, and he had a brother and he had two sisters. And what occurred is that when he was 20 years old in 1930, his sister had married a Zionist, and they moved to Israel, which was just an unheard-of thing. But it shocked the family, going from the capital of the world, Berlin, down to such a place as Palestine, with the swamps and malaria and everything, and the bullets and the Arabs. And so, but what happened was that Simon Wasserman was sort of thinking about that, and he was reading everything he could get his hands on, particularly Mein Kampf, that Adolf Hitler had written. And so it came about that in 1932, he decided he would go to Israel as well, down to Palestine. So he applied to the British authorities for permission to go down there, and they responded back to Simon and said, no, we have enough Jews down here. We don't need any more Jews unless you are an elevator technician, because we need elevator technicians. And so then Simon decided to go, which he did, and applied to the Berlin Technical Institute and got his one-year degree and become an elevator technician. And he left Germany. He left Berlin in 1933. That was the same year that Hitler became chancellor. And he went down to Israel. And life was very good down there on the beaches of Tel Aviv. He meets Tammy's mother. They get married. It's a wonderful time. And then in 1939, he gets a letter from Germany. And he figures, oh, wonderful, it's a letter from my parents. So he opens it up, and to his surprise, it's not from his parents. It's from a Gentile friend of his, a close friend that he had before he left. And the letter reads, my dear Simon, I have risen very high in the Gestapo. I have a very high position in the SS here in Berlin, and I am holding in front of me a list of Jews to be murdered. And I see on this list your mother's name, your father's name, your brother's name, your sister's name. They're going to be murdered. So because you are my dear friend, the second page of this letter is a two-week pass. With this pass, you can come into Germany, you can come into Berlin, you can go to your parents' home, and you can take them, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, out of Germany and save them alive. So he goes and he talks to his friends and his wife, and they all tell him that he's out of his mind to consider it, that you know, he'll be just like the rest of those people in the cattle cars. They take the letter away, the pass, and so he... At first he thinks he's not going to do it, but then he looks in the mirror and he sees himself. He says, you know what, shouldn't one person risk his life for four? So he goes ahead and he says, I'm going to do it. And he gets into the country, he gets into Berlin, he gets the family, he sits down with them, he says, look, please come. And he begs and pleads and cries for 2 weeks, and they tell him, Simon, we don't believe it. We don't believe that there are death camps. We believe your friend is a thief and he wants to take everything you have, and you never saw it firsthand, and so don't talk such nonsense. And he left empty-handed, and they were all murdered. And I tell my Jewish friends, I am Simon Wasserman, and I am telling you that there is a place of eternal destruction called hell, that there is train cars going there. Some of them are very comfortable. And there is a way of escape. There is a path, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself who said that he would rescue, he would ransom, he would save from this destruction. And so that's what drives me in the evangelism that we do. And so what do? All that I can. And how much? With all that I got. And so I've tried to think, and what can we as a, what can I do with the company that I have? And so we've set up call centers. We have a call center in Mexico where we have our plant with 450 people calling Jewish people every day. We have a call center in San Jose. We have a call center in Lancaster, California, calling Jewish people, offering them gospel materials. We have right now about 104 Bible school students who we've trained, and they're working very, very hard for 12 weeks in seven major cities where there are a large Jewish population, going door to door. They'll knock on about 750,000 doors by the summer. They will distribute about 300,000 of my testimony DVDs and gospel materials to the Jewish people. We have a large outreach in Israel where we're in the summer we're going to be doing a mailing to 145,000 homes. We have missionaries that we have placed, and we started a mission organization called Israel Restoration Ministries. We placed missionaries in Buenos Aires and Los Angeles, and every Saturday we send 118 Bible school students into the streets of Los Angeles, the Jewish areas, and they knock on about 25,000 doors every Saturday. And so we're doing all that we possibly can. We're setting up to do radio and television. We have a green screen room to reach the Jewish people while there's still time, because Simon Wasserman, that's the guiding drive behind it.
Wow, that is powerful, Tom. And you actually, you knew the daughter of Simon Wasserman? Is that your connection?
Yeah, that's my friend, Tammy. Tammy's there. Yeah, she's the daughter of Simon Wasserman. Yeah. And it's such an impactful story because I wrote it down and I had it in Hebrew and I gave it to some Israelis one time when I was in Africa. And I asked the Israelis, did you read my little booklet? And they said, oh, yes, we'll prove to you that we read it. And then they said to me, we knew Simon Wasserman as a person.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you say that? What would you say to someone, to a Christian who might be listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher right now?
I would say to them, if the person who led you to the Lord Jesus Christ, who obviously has got to be one of the most important persons in your life, and you love that person because that person brought you the Bible, brought you your Savior, brought you your destiny in heaven, brought you everything. If that person fell away from God, what would you do? You surely would go back to that person and try to restore him. And then I would say to that person, that's who the Jewish people are. They're the ones who brought you the Messiah and the Bible and the way to heaven. And they've fallen away from God. So I would say, go to them and seek to restore them.
That is powerful. I really like that. Tom, thank you so much for being my guest on Jesus Made Me Kosher today. You are just a really unique individual. It's amazing how, you know, the Lord has blessed you and used you over the years, starting this company with $130 and it becoming this, significant company, and how the Lord has given you this passion for evangelism and specifically Jewish evangelism, and how you're using your talents and skills to reach our Jewish people.
Amen. Okay, well, God bless you and your efforts too. And together we're all looking forward to the day when we'll be able to surprise the Lord with the lost ones that are his lost ones that we've brought back. And we'll be able to say to him, we know how much it hurts you to lose them, and we gave ourselves to bringing them back to you.
Amen. Thank you, Tom. This is Rabbi Lauren. You're listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher. And tomorrow I'm going to be interviewing another Messianic Jewish believer, Lynn Bond. She's also the daughter of Moish Rosen, and she's got a fascinating story herself and is a great woman of God. So please join me again tomorrow, same time, 3:30 here on WLQV, for another edition of Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.